Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where
we've all stopped Cybertrucking.
where three guys talk about Cybertrucks, electric vehicles, and technology. I guess that's the way to say it. I guess that's what we're going with today, right?
Three former owners, and if you didn't catch on,
our
Felix leader Eric is sold.
Yeah, so for anybody that's new, I guess we could say, all three of us, when we started this journey almost a year ago, as a matter of fact, guys, I think in March is going to be, and I'll find out exactly what date, but in March is our anniversary or 1 year anniversary of the podcast. So number one, thank you to everybody for tuning in and listening to us or watching us on YouTube. But also, all three of us bought Cybertrucks. You know what? I'm going to kind of give the origin of the podcast. So Will, Chase, and I were all part of a Discord where Cybertruck reservation holders were part of this group, and everybody was just waiting to take their delivery of their Cybertruck. And we were kind of the only three at the time that actually owned Cybertrucks. And so we were answering a lot of questions for people. And it was fun. It was fun answering questions, you know, kind of sending pictures of things that people wanted to see, this or that. And we were kind of providing that information for people. And that kind of got me thinking, you know what, if we're doing this in a Discord, why not do this on a larger scale on YouTube and on a podcast? So I reached out to Chase and Will, and I threw out that idea, and they were both on board. And that's what started the podcast. So, like I said, we all owned Cybertrucks. Well, slowly, we've kind of all, for our own reasons, sold our Cybertrucks.
Good reasons. I started first, I admitted, because I bought it originally. I was excited for the truck. It was more expensive than I thought. A part of my thought process was, okay, if I can offset the first year of owning it, using it as a Turo rental and then using it on my own, that might help me cope with the cost at the time. As history has shown, they ramped up production really, really successfully. My whole area was flooded with Cybertrucks, and I just kind of felt it on the wind. So I was like, you know, I think now's the time to try to get myself out of this.
Yeah, exact same. Because we looked at it, we saw the announcement, and I was like, oh, 80K. We're like, that's not 50, so, but it's a little bit more. It's a little bit at the higher end of the budget. But we're like, all right, let's hold on. And they're like, wait a minute, no. An extra 20. And we're like, okay. The only way to justify this, I did the numbers of like, okay, we could turn it into a business. Turo, if you had an average of like $500 a day on Turo, you could easily pay for this truck with very little, you know, effort. And that we kind of did some risk management too of like, okay, what's our bottom dollar before we have to get out? Because our top dollar, we rented it for $1,200 a day. It was the top that we did, which is crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy.
But it was still kind of in that average, like 500 range, but 350 was kind of our bottom. And then same thing happened in Austin, market got flooded, and we started to see Cybertrucks up there for 200 250 a day, less than 200 a day, and we're like, okay, it is time. So,
and it happened here like I think the month or two before that, and it's like, yeah, the writing is just on the wall. I mean, a lot of people had the same idea.
Yeah, and I think we were just talking about this before we went live. All three of us went into our Cybertruck ownership partly due to business, right? We were going to turn the truck into a business for ourselves and make money. And you two were doing it the Turo way. I didn't want to do that because I kind of looked at my truck more as I'm going to monetize it from a YouTube standpoint, but that was my truck. Right. Like I really treated that thing as my baby, you know, the kids couldn't eat in the car and that type of stuff, you know, like I really was that.
I don't want to know what some clients did in my car.
Me neither.
So, and you guys, you know, we used to talk about it a lot off air, off YouTube. You guys would tell me like, do it, you know, you can make some money. Why not? And I was always hesitant. I even went through the whole process of Turo, had it uploaded. I just never went live with it because it was I always looked at it as like, that's my baby, like I can't give it to somebody else. So that I looked at it from a different lens in that way. But unfortunately for me, I just kind of had, and everybody who watches us on a regular basis knows, I've had quite a few issues with my Cybertruck. And in our research, the three of us and all the people we talked to that own Cybertrucks, most people have had the inverter issue, if not everyone. It just turned into I had it more than most. Mm-hmm. And so it just got to the point where, and I said it in my video that I posted today about the reason why I got rid of the Cybertruck was on Christmas Eve, I'm driving a supercharger, my front motor disables because of inverter failure. In that moment, that's my third one. I'm just going, it's Christmas Eve. I'm trying to go supercharged so I could go visit family. And it's like, man. You know, I've been stranded on a camping trip because of this. Now it's Christmas Eve. I'm having issues. Now I had a road trip that coming weekend that I was excited to go with my family for a basketball tournament for my son. And it's like, can I even do that now with the Cybertruck? And so it's just, it's one of those things where it got to the point where how reliable is my personal Cybertruck? Yeah. Is this thing a lemon? Is this going to be an ongoing issue for me? I don't know. And so in talking with Chase and talking with Will and talking to other people, everybody was telling me, you got to at least consider the lemon law or a Tesla buyback. And so that's what I did. I went into service 2 days later and I, you know, talked to them, the service manager, about a Tesla buyback. And he immediately told me, you're for sure a candidate because they know me and they know I'm always in there. Mm-hmm. It's gotten to the point where I show up and they just look at me and they go, what now?
Yeah,
literally, that's what they would say. They would actually use some cuss words. You know, they would say, you know, what the now? You know, what the hell?
Regardless, it's like regardless of the brand, it's like that's what you expect. I mean, that's what you would do with any vehicle, any maker. You know, if you were experiencing those kind of problems, be like, all right, it looks like I really have some issues. Maybe my model's a bum model. You know, and let's see what the company's going to do to make it right.
Yeah. You definitely had the Cybertruck that everyone in the Facebook comments said Cybertruck would do. It just happened to be the wrong one.
Yeah, it happened to be mine.
We never had any issues like anywhere near that. You know, I mean, and our VIN was not very far off. Like it was maybe 800 more than you had. Yeah. So it's
definitely, I've learned because I'm getting a lot of people upset with me from my video today. I've had quite a few people unsubscribe from me. It is what it is. That's fine. That's what people choose to do. But one thing I've explained to people, I understand that this may be unique to just me and my truck, not necessarily my fault and not necessarily, you know, maybe even Tesla's fault. And Tesla, I said it in the video, Tesla has been fantastic in the repair process, getting me the truck quickly, as quick as they can. I mean, Christmas Eve, I think they got it done, or it was the 26th of December. They did it the same day. They repaired it the same day because they knew, because I told them, I said, I have a road trip coming up and like, this is a bummer. They got it done for me that quick. You know, so they've really bent over backwards, whether it's with a service center and even, you know, the buyback process. It was smooth. It was a little lengthy and it took a while, but it was smooth. And I'm very happy with the number that they gave me. You know, they essentially gave me all my money back. They took a few $1,000s for mileage. But I got all my money back, and to the point where I've talked to other Cybertruck owners who have had issues and who have considered doing a buyback. And when I've talked to them about my process and the number I got, everyone's like, maybe I need to explore this because, I mean, you could just turn around and go buy another one for $20,000 less because now it's not Foundation Series, you know? And I've had other people tell me potentially free supercharging or whatever perks that they're giving at the time. So, you know, it's what I've told people is I had to do the deal because I couldn't trust my Cybertruck anymore, unfortunately. And so I had to do the deal with the number that they gave me. I couldn't pass it up.
Yeah, I want to just to jump in. Yeah, Eric, I would say to you, you do not need to defend yourself to these mouth breathers. Like if they spent $100,000 on anything and it didn't perform to the absolute topmost, I don't care how far they've got somebody's phallus down their throat, you don't sit there and take it, you know? And it's like the fact that you're still even entertaining going back to a Cybertruck, we've all had positive sentiment about it going forward and the possibility of owning again in the future. So everybody just being all pissy about it, it's like these are people who definitely don't own Cybertrucks. They're in no position to own Cybertrucks. They're in no position to question your purchase in the first place. So don't feel like that. Like that's a sizable purchase. Anybody else is going to look at you, you know, six-figure purchase with a family and business and keeping yourself. They're going to be like, you did the right thing. I don't care if it was gold encrusted and could fly. It you did the right thing.
Just don't go run off and buy a Rivian, because who does that?
Yeah, what an idiot.
Then you get really people that are like upset with you. No, I'm kidding.
No, you know what's funny that you say that? I've probably received more comments about people saying, don't go get a Rivian.
Really?
Yeah. I've had people say, oh, go check out the Hummer. I've had people say, go check out the Denali, the Silverado. And then I think I've had maybe one or two people tell me, go check out the Rivian. But most people have given me the reasons why to not go get a Rivian.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I felt I'm kind of feeling like there's a divide there where it's either your Rivian or your Tesla. That's
it's a Coke and Pepsi kind of thing.
I don't know. I think and to that point, it's like an Apple and an Android situation where it's like the iPhone owners like you must. I feel so bad for you guys, and Android users are all like, we don't even think about y'all. So you know,
you and your green bubble text.
Yeah, exactly. That's always the thing, right?
And we made iPhone turn on RCS, didn't we? Yeah.
And switch to USB-C.
Yeah, I can see it. Well, I apologize if I sound too defensive, but it's
No. I just don't focus on because it's like, yeah, clearly you're going to get opinions from people on both sides. It's for somebody being in the position you are running this show. So it's like everybody's going to be like, you need to get a Rivian. You need to get a Cybertruck. Be like, you need to go buy whatever the hell you want to go buy tell these people, go buy whatever y'all can afford to buy or want to buy, but stay out of my business.
Yeah, no, and we've talked about it many times. The Cybertruck is a dream to drive. It's a fantastic vehicle. I've said it many times. Every time I was taking it to service for an issue, I was always pissed off. I was always like, this damn car, you know, this truck is, you know, always something, you know, and I'm frustrated. I go and drop it off and I'm just like, I'm tired of this thing. And then after a day or two driving whatever loaner they gave me, as fantastic as a Model S Plaid is, I missed driving the Cybertruck, and every time I showed up to pick it up and I got in and I'm not even hitting the freeway yet, I'm already like falling in love again. I'm going, man. Mm-hmm. So I know it's going to be very difficult for me to not go buy another Cybertruck just from my personal preference standpoint. You know, I really do love the truck. I'm getting, you know, we have quite a few people in the comments right now. And so once again, thank you, Jay. Jay's in there, Max, Hugo, Chris, everybody that's in chat, we appreciate you. And you know, it's everybody, you know, Hugo saying, you know, they should have this issue fixed by now. And I hope so. Obviously, I don't know for sure because I don't have a new one yet, but I'm kind of hearing from people that just took deliveries that and have put in the miles that they haven't had this issue. So, and I have a full confidence in Tesla. Tesla has been really good about, even if their first gen vehicles have their issues, they always fix them and they always make it right. And so I have full confidence in Tesla that they will get this fixed if they haven't already. And so I may end up with another Cybertruck. I may end up with, you know, a Silverado or a Hummer or a Rivian. Nobody kill me.
Don't look at the mouth.
So, you know, I just wanted to share that information and kind of, you know, just get it out there. Cause now at this point, yes, we're a podcast with three guys that don't own Cybertrucks talking about Cybertrucks, but I think we all share the love for the truck and share the fact that we enjoy it. We think it's iconic. We think that it's, you know, something very special. And at the end of the day, it brought all of us together and we've built our small community, but the community that I enjoy. So I'm happy either way. And let's hope that, you know, my process of trying to find something goes smoothly and we'll see what happens, you know, in a month or maybe less or maybe a little bit more, however long it takes.
It started a phenomenon, really. I mean, if it wasn't for the Cybertruck, I don't think we would have had the Ford Lightning at all. And it wouldn't have happened the timeline it did, because I think they're trying to beat them to the market. But then I don't 100%. Think we would have had all these other, you know, classic ICE, you know, vehicle makers getting serious about an EV truck or an EV like off-road vehicle. And now we're here. So,
well, one thing that I talk about, or I talked about in the video, that the truck or EV that I'm most excited about is a Scout.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the Scout even happens without the Cybertruck.
True.
You know, I don't know, you know, not saying it wouldn't have, maybe this was in the works for 10 years and, you know, but I don't know. And so, and then, you know, when you're talking about the 800 volt architecture, you're talking about steer by wire, you're talking about the four wheel steering, all the cool technology that the Cybertruck has, that's just pushing everybody. And it's just going to make trucks, especially EV trucks, that much better for the future. So, you know, I think the Cybertruck did exactly what it was supposed to do, and that was to push the industry forward.
I will say the first thing you're going to miss, and you're going to notice it as soon as you drive any of the car, is the steer-by-wire. It's just, it's game-changing.
Well, this is what I'll tell you, too. I didn't realize, because we've talked about this on the podcast, where if we weren't forced into full self-driving with the Foundation Series, would we have bought it? And I was big on saying no. I wouldn't have bought it. I would have, if anything, if I needed it, I'd do the subscription. I will tell you this. It's been, what, like 9 or 10 days since I got rid of the Cybertruck. I just went to Arizona and back. And what I'm driving right now, which is our Jeep Wrangler 4xe. I'm telling you right now, I thoroughly miss full self-driving.
Yes, sir.
That is a freaking game changer. It just, it's one of those things where you take it for granted. You know, when you're a kid, we look at our kids and it's like, you take this for granted, you know? That's how I feel now. I feel like I took full self-driving for granted. Now, I desperately want it back.
And Comma AI might have something for you, depending on what vehicle you drive in the near future.
Well, you know, Will's getting just as good as Chase, because I was hoping one of you guys were going to do that. let's get the heat off me. Let's talk about Rivian. There's the Comma AI is being tested and is on its way. And like I just said, you know, now with me, as I said in my video, I consider myself, I'm a big sports guy, so I consider myself a free agent right now. All these car manufacturers and vehicles, I'm open, you know, like come talk to me, you know. No one's going to come talk to me, but.
They're going to be like, we'll see you. You come to the shop.
Exactly. Yeah, come to the showroom. But like I said, I miss full self-driving. I will tell you this right now. That is going to be a huge thing for me in making my decision on the next vehicle. I need something more than just adaptive cruise control.
It has been a bit of a burden with, it's like the only cumbersome thing that nags me day to day, because I've been driving Teslas for so long with every evolution of autopilot, to take such a huge step back that is driver plus. Like I don't know what Rivian even has planned, because they're talking about level 3 by the end of this year. I'm like curious, like maybe that's why they're getting this Loom set up, so that the Comma AI system can work with the Rivian R1S and R1T as soon as possible. I mean, if it's collaborative, I'm all for it, because it means that you'll get like Tesla's level everyday street driving and route planning and stuff, all aftermarket using their software.
Yeah.
Is it tapping? Is it the cameras though?
Yes.
That would be okay. Cool.
So I did a bit of research, because as soon as I saw this, I was like, "Ooh, when can I order?" And I found out it's still in development. They don't have the official thing, but so I watched through one of the other installation videos for another vehicle that has the wide angle camera at the top that it taps into, and the installation instructions for the different looms that you buy has the walkthrough instruction. You have to open up the plastic console, figure out which one's the camera, and then just like plug in something extra to it or something. It was pretty interesting, but it just runs right in there. And then the whole thing just runs right inside the little, it's basically a smartphone.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, so, with the speed of AI getting better and better, it's only natural that something third party like this would pop up.
Well, so okay, so I've been watching Comma AI for a while. So this is years ago, you know, back when iPhones didn't let you ever install anything that wasn't on the App Store. A beautiful human being named George Hotz created, or I think that he was the first one to create Cydia, which was a jailbreak after an outside App Store for iPhones. It was the first one. It was not sanctioned. They you know, he also pioneered jailbreaking the phones and getting it so you could install outside stuff. And so, you know, he had a very bright future. The guy was like 16 when he broke the phones and stuff. But after that, he went to work for Apple for a brief minute, you know, just telling them all the stuff that I'm sure that he did to break it. And then they're like, okay, cool, now get out. And then I want to say that he actually went and interviewed at Tesla. and like did an internship with him or something when he was young. Afterwards, I remember he had left Apple and he went to this new company, this Comma.ai. And I was like, oh, this is brilliant. But at the time I was also like, oh, come on, Tesla's going to kick their ass. We're going to be level 5 by like next Thursday. There's nobody's going to get a hold a candle to them. Time proved me the fool. But it's just so, and the thing is, Comma AI, their self-driving system, I believe is based on an open source software. So that's how they've been able to get as far with it as they have because of the collaborative community and everybody who's supporting it. The thing that they're missing is drive data. They haven't had it necessarily in enough cars to be able to scale it to everybody, I think. And so now the fact that it's popping up for the Rivian, and after me just saying the Driver Plus really is kind of disappointing coming from a Tesla, pretty much no matter what, I am stoked to see that they are this close to having that Lumen. I'm curious to know how Rivian feels about it.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think that obviously, I think at some point, and I think, I mean, there's already reports that people are trying to, or Tesla's possibly going to outsource their technology to people. But like I said, you know, me now driving something that doesn't have this, I mean, it's really a game changer. And if it's going to be something that you can buy as a third party, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, that's remember the days of you buying a third party GPS for your car?
Oh yeah.
That's kind of like what this is, right? It's kind of like saying, hey, here's the system and it just plugs right in, you know, and, mm-hmm. and now you're ready to go. And at least this will help get people yeah. into but
remember,
the
GPS back then was literally just like the crappiest TFT screen you could find and yeah. something robotically being like, turn left ahead, proceed 3 miles, you know. The fact exactly. that, but it didn't interact with the car. It was just another thing in yeah. the car.
Yeah.
And the fact that Comma AI is not, and this is just not just for Rivian. They've got looms and yeah. software capability for a lot of vehicles. Yeah. The fact that that kind of integration is so simple, and it like, I think that the software is free, the updates are free, the hardware is like $1,000 or something like that for the loom and then the thing. I mean,
and you can't beat it. You can't that's amazing. Beat that.
Yeah.
You know? So that goes back into what we were saying. Tesla, Cybertruck, pushing things, right? They're pushing things forward, the technology, AI, all this stuff. You know, people want to say what they want to say. There's pros and cons to AI, but I mean, it's...
The Rivian harness is in stock. Whoa! I'm going to order it.
I was going to say, the good thing about this podcast is like, we're not only doing Tesla, where it's like, we're just debating on, you know, the last shareholders meeting and tearing apart everyone's comments.
That's true.
It's like, it's, you know, it's the whole landscape.
And I will also still defend because we would not be here with this kind of our discussion about mm-hmm. about multiple electric vehicle manufacturers was it not for the fact that Tesla was the first one to make an electric vehicle that you wanted to drive. It's mm-hmm. like they had other EVs, they have had hybrids, they had ugly, behemoth, awful cars. Tesla made a car that everybody wanted to drive. And that's why we're here where we are. Because if somebody 100%. Had taken it seriously sooner, we would have been here sooner. But it took Tesla doing it.
No, it's 100% correct. And so, you know, like I said, you know, say what you want, but at the end of the day, I mean, they make, you know, fantastic vehicles and, mm-hmm. you know, they look good. They push the industry forward. And even though Elon time is a thing and things take a little bit longer than we all want it to, I mean, how long were we going? When's full self-driving coming? When is it coming? When is it coming? I mean, when it came, it was a game changer. And so really happy for that. And then excited to see what Comma AI does for other vehicles other than just, you know, Rivian. So that's
yeah, here, let's, I mean, Acura, Acura RDX, Audi A3, Audi Q2, Q3, RS3. You got Chevy Pacifica. You got the Chrysler Pacifica Hybrid, Ford Escape 2020 to 2022. Like they've got so many vehicles in here that you can drop it into.
That's cool. That's yeah. really cool. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that's where I'm at least for my next vehicles. I need something. I need something like that because I've been spoiled and I can't go back. Mm-hmm. I went back right now and it wasn't fun doing that road trip. So, and I'm actually surprised on how often, and I don't think I realized it in the moment, how often I used full self-driving on city streets,
mm-hmm.
you know, cause autopilot on every other Tesla I've owned I was only using it on freeways because
mm-hmm.
I felt like the street, you know, even my Model 3 had the capability of doing city driving, but it seemed a little clunky, even though it was good. But it wasn't. The Cybertruck is way better, is all I'm going to say.
It's improved a lot over the years. It's 100%. Come so far. Yeah, I'm stoked to start seeing comma AI come in for it. But yeah, it's like Tesla's been just dominating it for so long. To see them kind of starting to see some competition, I'm hoping that they'll start pushing things forward more so at Tesla as well.
That's exactly that's all we want. We want competition. Competition lowers prices and increases the quality of the product. So all for it. Quickly. Because we're on that topic, what is the Lightning offer, Chase, as far as cruise control or any of that type of stuff? Because I'm unfamiliar with it.
It's the Blue Cruise. If you've heard Jerry Rig talk about it, it beats out FSD. Is completely false. Like it's basically probably as good as Driver Plus is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's does it sound like that they're like pushing more for FSD type of capability out of that. They're just like, they're happy with what it can do now. But I mean, it's okay. It's fine for, cruise control, but I wouldn't like sit back and read a paper.
You won't go to sleep. Well, I just received an email right now. It looks like I'm getting a Lightning and Blue Cruise is amazing. And I just want to let everybody know that Ford is the king. And
he's looking anybody, for that sponsorship.
The Blue Oval, you could leave now.
I like a lot of things about it, but the Blue Cruise is not one, but I don't know. Like I don't know.
It was trash in the Mustang friggin' GT crap too.
Yeah. But there's plenty of other things I like.
I'm excited to test out GM's. What is it called?
The Denali.
Well, their system though. What is it called? Where it has the steering wheel and has a little green light and all that. I forget.
Super Cruise.
Is it called Super Cruise? There you go. Super I'm excited cruise. To test that out. I want to see what that's why I'm going to be making videos for the next few weeks or a month or whatever it takes, because I'm going to go look at all these cars and I want to, kind of report back to everybody. And I'm going to use the podcast as a big platform for that as well as, hey, guys, I went to go test out the Hummer. These are my thoughts. Hey, I want to go look at this. These are my thoughts, because I think I have a unique perspective of owning a Cybertruck for as long as I did, and then what I did with my Cybertruck. That's another thing I want to talk about. I wanted to talk about Brian and the Cyber Odyssey. That was 2 weekends ago, President's Day weekend. We all went out to Glamis. That was the weekend before I got rid of the Cybertruck. So I took my Cybertruck out there. We hit the dunes. We did some really cool, exciting things. Let me see if I could grab a picture. And, I'll tell you, I have a video coming out talking about the performance of my Cybertruck out there, but I'll tell you that it performed well, and I was very, very happy with it. Here, let me pull up this picture. The Cybertruck has just proven over and over and over again how well it performs off-road, and I know a lot of people, that early video of the Cybertruck owner trying to get up that little hill in the snow, and everybody ripped it because they're going, look, the thing can't handle snow and it can't do this. And it's like, I continuously am shocked and surprised on how well it does at all of this type of stuff. So
Chase knows it can go up a hill. He's jumped one. So
issue. It just keeps going. There's no hill underneath.
Were you blasting Creed at the time? Just,
close. It was like classic rock. Like Good Vibrations was one of the tunes we were going around to. It was sweet. I thought you froze. So Genie out of the bottle. I really want to talk about the RAM.
Let's get into it. Let me pull that up. Why don't you start and then I'll pull it up.
I've been oogling over the details with this, and I know what's going to happen is they're going to come out and it's going to be like 110,000.
Yeah.
Or worse. Because, all the classic ICE vehicle makers are doing it where they're just going to, Optimum is going to be 110 all the way down to a base model and then rip out all the cool stuff like Ford did.
Yeah. But, so we were talking before we went live about what I'm excited about. And one thing that I mentioned to the guys was the Ram Charger. And some more details have come out recently on its availability. And some of the specs. And so you could see here, it's going to have a range of 690 miles. Obviously, what they're doing is they're putting a small generator inside the vehicle that once the battery starts depleting, it can recharge the battery and continue your drive. And so they're saying 690 miles. I mean, that is
that's huge.
That is a game changer. And especially for someone like myself, where I want to go camping, I want to go off the beaten path, I want to go overlanding. The restriction I had with the Cybertruck is I really had to plan those routes out with superchargers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even Glamis, going to Glamis, we had Brian on, and you know, Jerry was on with us as well. There was a whole game plan of where are the chargers at? Where, you know, what are we doing? What adapters do we need? All that type of stuff. And that, having this and having a generator inside, that really appeals to me, because now you could have, you know, jerry cans with you. And mm-hmm. if you just need to refuel the generator to keep you going, you can do so. And now you have an electric vehicle, but you still have that capability of really going further distances and towing. Imagine towing at this as a 14,000 pound towing capacity, 2,600 pound payload. I'm really, really excited about this. The only problem, or not problem, but the only thing for me, my specific situation, is they're just stating that it's coming out 2025. They're not giving an exact time frame. So can that be in 2 months? Can that be in 9 months? I don't know.
It's 690 is very interesting, because I don't know. I haven't been super.
It sounds like an Elon joke. 690, 69, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was wondering, like, is there a gas equivalent with that range?
So my Ram diesel would get about 500 miles, okay. But no, not 690. I don't think there's, unless if you get one of those extended larger capacity,
yeah, gas, like, dual battery,
those side tanks, maybe tanks. Like you get those right behind the passenger seat, or
yes, yeah, so you would have to. Yeah, get some. I know Ram, you can custom order with a larger gas tank. But once again, you know, you have to do something like that. But even then, I don't know if you could get up to 690. That's a lot. That's a lot of range.
It's impressive. It's impressive for a gas car, or it's way impressive for, you know, for an EV. But it makes sense. Like we saw this with the Scout, and that's why it was so cool to see what the Scout was going to do, is because of exactly this. Like having an onboard generator is game changer. Like should have happened from the beginning.
The thing I will say is the fact that it doesn't have the NACS or NACS mm-hmm. charging, that is a little disappointing, and that may change, but that's a little disappointing. And also the speed. It says right here, add up to 50 miles of all electric range in just 10 minutes with a 400 volt DC fast charging at up to 145 kilowatts. 145 kilowatts is really slow for today's standards.
Mm-hmm.
That is disappointing. You would think, but I also understand that they're really wanting people to kind of rely on that generator, I think.
Yeah.
And I think what they're kind of figuring is you charge your battery at home. That's the most optimal, cost-effective way of doing so. And then you have that generator for when you're out. Don't stop at a charger and sit there for 30 minutes. Just go put gas and keep going. You know.
Yeah.
So you're kind of getting the best of both worlds, in my personal opinion.
I was wondering, and it looks like Dodge is not approved for the Tesla network yet, which could be what their designers were thinking. They're like, well, we can't get this Tesla deal to go through. Why don't we just throw a generator on there and then
possibly,
you know, remove that worry completely.
I don't know. I feel like having the option of adding a gas generator to your electric vehicles, there's going to be a lot of people being like, EVs, you still need gas.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, first off, shut up. Second, I think that it's actually kind of appealing to, I mean, you know, we were talking about my washer dryer idea for the Frunk last week. Mm-hmm. So maybe a Frunk generator that taps in as an aftermarket device to make for EV drivers, you know,
mm-hmm.
put a little 2000 watt. I mean, I guess 2000 watts really wouldn't give you much as far as a charge rate, unless it was wired correctly. Nah, 2000 watts is like barely trickle. But I mean, you know, who knows? You could come up with something. I'm going to go break down my generator and see if I can fit it in the trunk.
There you go. One thing I just caught right here, if mm-hmm. you see, and I know this is just a picture, this may not be 100% accurate, but it shows right here a range of 402 miles, and it looks like it's almost at the halfway mark.
Ooh.
It's showing right here, the battery, same thing, almost at the halfway mark. And then you look at the gas gauge, and it's a little over 3/4. So, but I mean, showing a range of 402 miles at the halfway mark is just nuts.
And the gas tank is on the left side the way it should be. Never understood passenger side gas tanks.
That is true.
And the charger. So I think it's probably from some of the other pictures. You can see the charger in front, like the Ford Lightning does.
And then
the
gas right tank
in the back. Yeah.
And that's why they can't use the Tesla network yet, because it's on the wrong side of the car. Yeah. They're like, Rivian's already pissing everybody off. Now you guys.
I've already went to a supercharger with the Lightning, and yeah, it is kind of awkward.
Mm-hmm. But the I did with my Rivian too. I was like, I was parked like halfway out of the parking space, and then just I was like, it's the only way I can get it to work.
Yeah, this is. I mean, the other exciting thing that they talk about, I think, I don't know if you passed it. You might have passed it, but the home energy charging. So they're wanting to do dual charge as well, and it looks like it would be coming from that main CC. Yeah, you go. Main CCS port, but the really interesting thing, knowing that it has a gas generator on board, this also makes your home backup a lot longer for 30 days. That's 20-ish days more than what Ford was even advertising at first. Mm-hmm. I thought they were like 10 days or something like that.
That's awesome. Huge too. It's like these are the aspects of the utility that I expect from electric vehicles now. The idea of, oh, okay, I can literally run my whole house off it. I can, you know, power all of these, you know, mobile power needs or whatever. It's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
You're fine. Go ahead.
The only other one was the I think if you scroll down a little bit, you can keep going. A little bit more. One more. Two more. It's somewhere down here. There it is. So in the cabin, look at the passenger seat. You have a touchscreen passenger screen.
Oh, I could show
as
you.
As well.
Right here.
I have a better one. Yeah, there we go. Right. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's really cool. Because I assume that screen could activate, you know, entertainment or whatever you want while you're driving.
Pornhub, whatnot, you know.
Exactly. It's out of the reach from the driver, so why not?
Now, do you have audio control of it from the left-hand side, too? Or it's a his and her situation.
It's exactly what it is. But yeah, no, you 100% can use that for entertainment, whatever that might be, Will. So, that is cool. That is cool. You know, that's something I've said about the Cybertruck. I wish there was a little bit more. I know the simplicity, a lot of people like it, and I enjoy it as well. But I mean, when you see something like this, it's just like, wow, that's cool. Look how luxurious and everything. You know, sometimes people don't like that. Maybe it's a little too plush, or, you know, the woods and all that. People, you know, I know there's different tastes, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. I tend to like that. I tend to like that look. So I'm all about it. I'm really, really intrigued by the Ram Charger. And, you know, I'm excited to see when it's coming out. I don't know if I'll be able to wait that long, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah, definitely has me excited. I mean, because it's checking a lot of the big boxes and a couple more boxes than the Lightning did.
Hugo's in chat, and he says, I think Dodge canceled the long range 600 mile plus truck. I did hear about something like that, Hugo, a few weeks ago or maybe a couple months ago, but my good friend Andre at TFL literally just reported on this, I think yesterday or 2 days ago. And I was disappointed to hear that they got rid of the Ram Charger, the longer range version variant. But then when Andre reported on it, then I went, okay, it must be back. So I don't know 100%, but I mean, it's on their website. They still have it up on their website. Someone like Andre, who I know is plugged into the truck space, is reporting on it and just posted a video. So I'm taking it as it's back in play if it was off the table. And if it is, I'm happy about it, because I think there's going to be more and more of this. I think there's a lot of legacy automakers that are sitting there saying, we're not going to go fully all in with electric. We're going to put a little generator in there. And that way we can separate ourselves some. And the Scout's doing the same thing. The Scout is doing a small generator, but they're saying they're going to get about 500 miles. So another 190 miles, I mean, that makes a big difference in my book.
Yeah.
So that is the Ram Charger. I'm excited about it. Sounds like Chase is excited about it. So we'll keep our eyes on it. We'll keep reporting on it as we hear more. Maybe I need to talk to Andre and see if I can get him on the podcast to talk about that and amongst other things. I'll reach out to him, see what when he's available. Another thing I want to talk about is there's some improvements, it sounds like, that are coming to the Cybertruck. And one of them is the improvement in the glass roof. As you could see here, seems to be a newer roof. As you can see, it's darker. It's much darker.
A different tint or a different glass?
Yeah.
It says right here, I believe the new glass is all black, whereas the old is a silver tinted glass. I noticed this last week, that's interesting. I wonder what the reasoning was for it. I don't know if we get that answer here now, but I wonder what the reasoning is for that. I'm not sure if it's just an improvement, they found something that they wanted to improve, or if there was some issue. I know I know of some people that have had their glass crack supposedly for no apparent reason. I don't know. I don't know if something dropped on it and they're just claiming, nothing
happened.
Not
from people jumping on it, as we've seen many a time before.
I've seen so many people doing stuff like that. Wasn't there somebody in the early days that dropped on the windshield and just crashed it, like outside a nightclub or something? That was a whole thing. But yeah, so the Cybertruck is apparently getting a new glass roof. So if I ever get a new Cybertruck, maybe mine will have that.
I'm thinking about a third party setup to kind of fix the things that I didn't like the Cybertruck that I like about the Lightning, like power in the frunk. If you could find a way to get auxiliary power in the frunk,
my gosh,
I feel like that'd be a huge, huge add on. Third party.
I say it all the time. And I think we talked about it. I think we talked about it on the day that you told everybody that you got the Lightning. That was a big miss for me for the Cybertruck. As great as the Cybertruck is, they already put power up there. All the plastic, you could tap into some power. I just don't know why they wouldn't have just put even just a 120 volt outlet in the front. Something like I said, I would put my Ice Co fridge up in the front, and that's where I would let it live. That would be the perfect space for it. But
yeah,
but I really do believe that'll be something in the next second gen.
For sure. Yeah, I feel like you could probably find a way to tap into that power feed, and then you use that switch, and then put at least two plugs off of that.
Yeah, I know people that have done something like that, where they've been able to tap into it and not just use it for I think the purpose was for a light bar in the front. Yeah, but people are actually, I know some people that are actually powering. I know a guy that has a winch on the front of his Cybertruck and he's powering it. He's powering it through that. There's a lot of other people that are doing some things. So that's what's really cool about the community too. One thing I've learned, I've had Teslas for years, but I wasn't really in it with the community as I am now, obviously because of YouTube. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I'm noticing that people have been doing for a long time is they really modify their Teslas, and they really do a lot of really cool improvements. And so it's really exciting. And you see that with the wraps, right? You see wraps all the time.
Another spray paint wraps too. Spray paint modifications going on right now.
There's a lot of that. Yeah. 100%. Unfortunately. But another thing was that supposedly the Cybertruck is getting Matrix adaptive headlights coming here soon as well. So let's see if there's just a conversation here. So that's just another thing that it looks like. And that's what I keep telling people is that Tesla's really good about listening, hearing what people want, and then going and making those improvements, even if it takes a little while to do. But, so with the adaptive headlights and then the new roof, it's just proving that they're moving in that direction. And then another thing that the Cybertruck recently got approved for was the fact that they're now officially a 5-star safety rating from NHTSA. That's something that's really cool. I mean, we all know how, tanky the Cybertruck is, but it's official now that it's a 5-star rating. So that's really cool and, kind of gives a lot of people a reassurance of how well built the Cybertruck is. You could...
Totally.
Put bombs in it and go in front of Trump hotels and nothing happened.
Literally bomb proof.
Wasn't that just so fireworks?
Yes. Thanks, Will. Where are you, Will? He's
probably eating.
I'm eating pizza. I figured you didn't want to watch me do it and drop it on the pillow.
I mean, why not? I mean, people are already calling it pillow pizza anyways. Yeah. People are asking about that.
Speaking of the headlights, that's something I noticed on the Lightning recently that I've never seen this in a vehicle, but the headlights will turn with the steering wheel.
Yeah.
So as you're turning around the corner, it'll like follow the steering, which is weird, but it's cool.
That's exactly what's coming to the Cybertruck. That adaptive headlight is, yeah, when you're turning around a corner, it'll kind of move in that direction as well. So something that's maybe overlooked from a lot of people, but like you're stating, you know, you have it and you noticed it and you're like, yeah, that's pretty neat. It's a cool feature to have.
So one question I have now is that, okay, so now that we know that the Model S and X are teed up for a refresh, a real refresh, I'm like sitting here like, please do steer by wire. Please do steer by wire.
Oh, yeah.
Model X. Oh, my God. Or honestly, the Model S and the Model X would be the perfect lines to introduce steer by wire to, and as well as 48 volts and all that.
I got to say, Chase, you're losing your touch here. Will's really picking up your slack when it comes to teeing me up. I literally was going to move on and go to that. And then you just came in and you just, you know, pizza on your lip and everything. And you just, you know, you just can't. No, I'm just messing with you. But yeah, no. So that's some big news. I think, you know, Tesla officially announced that I don't know if it's considered officially. I think it was one of... Who the heck is this? Yeah. What is that?
Oh, my. Hi there.
Well, he's also...
Is that AI Charlize Theron?
Advertise. What is this? Oh, men with ED. I must be looking at ED.
Oh, God. Not the search history.
Apparently.
That's the thumbnail right there. That's the thumbnail.
Yeah, that's
it's okay. I think that everybody, like all of the ad algorithms, have decided that everybody in America is super on board with what's happening in the government and stuff. Because I think that all of my ads, all of my algorithms, all of it has shifted overnight to a lot of red hats and their concerns, which apparently is the need for. I've been seeing ads like that. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Well, you know, I have another announcement to make.
Keep it. Mute it. We don't need it. You're okay.
Hey, whatever gets us a sponsor, right?
Yeah, amen.
Sponsor by Blue Chew.
Talk to you about our good people at Viagra and Pfizer.
Yes. So anyways. So yeah, Tesla. Well, I guess it says right here, Tesla announced Model S and Model X are getting a refresh later this year. Yeah, I agree. I think, I hope that some of the great technology that's in the Cybertruck, we know stainless steel isn't going to any other vehicles. They've made that clear. Mm-hmm. They've already stated that Cybertruck is going to be the only vehicle in their fleet that's going to have the stainless steel. So that's off the table. But, I mean, steer-by-wire, the electrical architecture of the Cybertruck, I hope all those things are put into these refreshes. I don't see why not.
I'll go a step further. Just put a outlet inside the goddamn car. Like, do an inverter, do a 110 outlet that can do up to 1500 watts. Make it so people, you know, you guys already pulled the rug out from a lot of people who are like, oh, this thing will run steam on the screen in the back someday. Mm-hmm. No, that's all gone. It's like, okay, well then give people the chance to at least like expand the media and entertainment experience inside their own cars by giving them power options that work with the enormous battery they're riding on top of.
Yeah, 100%. I also think, like, just imagine a Model S Plaid with steer-by-wire. I think that would be one of the best driving experiences you can get in a vehicle.
Hell, I'm also thinking, okay, so if you did a Model X, with an 800 volt architecture, that frees up even more power to throw to the motors. Yeah. Which case does the Model X all of a sudden, you know, beat out Hellcats all over YouTube for the next couple of years? Because I mean, that's what they had before. They had the Model X Plaid. I think there's a video of Model X Plaid beating out a Hellcat. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously top speed belongs to the Hellcat, but the you know, they're already quick, and it's like, all right, well, it's been long enough. They already teased the Roadster can do a bunch of nonsense. Mm-hmm. Put it back into these cars. I want to see that Model X, like, you know, 0 to 60 in 1.4.
Yeah, I can see them also putting the four-wheel steering in there.
Yes,
some might argue that it only makes sense for larger vehicles to have the four-wheel steering, but I think in this case for cleaner road maneuverability and also mm-hmm. high speed maneuverability, having to be able to go in line is a huge.
I wonder if it's a cost matter. I wonder if they could just make it into an option that you could order, like, or a separate mm-hmm. vehicle. You know, because they've obviously had no problem with doing single motor, dual motor, or, you know, eventually quad motor. Okay, well then offer an option where it's like, you know, you can do dual motor. Do you want, you know, articulated wheeling, steering, or standard? And you still mm-hmm. have to do steer by wire, but it'll just be the front wheels instead of all four.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons about the Cybertruck is so nimble off-road, even, is because the all four-wheel steering. You don't realize it until you're like, wait a minute, why is this so easy?
Yeah, and it's like, I think that's something that everybody should experience, honestly. Like, that kind mm-hmm. of maneuverability, like, gentlemen, Cybertruck in a parking lot? Whoo! Every other car that's any kind of length, you're like, okay, I gotta, like, hug the right lane and swing all the way around, and I'm gonna botch it, so I gotta, you know, the Cybertruck, it was like, it just turned. It was amazing. I loved it.
Like, I definitely feel it with the F-150. I definitely felt it with the Rivian. Like, the Rivian's turning radius almost felt worse than the F-150 in a way.
Mm, really?
But it still, just the F-150, it just feels too big. Like, it's not nimble at all.
You feel that size.
Yeah, but it's the same size. That's the thing. It's the same size as the Cybertruck, but it feels way bigger.
Yeah, that's
what she said.
Well, yeah.
We're trying to have her say.
But you mentioned something, Will. You stated something about what did you call it? A roadster? What is that? What's a roadster?
The Tesla Roadster that they took money for back in 2019 and never made anything for, and kept pushing down the road, and people had to put a $50,000 deposit in order to get the original series. And so far, they haven't they can get your money out, but otherwise, you know, you're stuck waiting. I don't know. What do you mean?
You know, it's funny because there's been a lot of talk about Cybertruck, and then now there's a refresh coming for Model S, Model X, and still nothing on the Roadster. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. It's like one of those things where I think that there's a lot of Tesla people, you know, who got Model 3s or Model Ys and now Cybertruck, and they see the Model S and X's, but they've never known about the original Roadster.
Mm-hmm.
Or the way that they unveiled that new Roadster that they started taking money for at the same time as they unveiled the Cybertruck and the – was it the Cybertruck or was it just the – no, the they did the Semi.
They did the Semi.
The Semi, and then they were also like, oh, and by the way.
They pulled it out of the trailer of the Semi.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a cool unveiling.
That was legendary. That was so great. And then they did rides in it, and people got to feel 0 to 60 in like was it 0 to 60 in 0.9 seconds? I think was it.
Yeah, something crazy like
quarter mile under 10 seconds. I think it was eighth mile. I don't know. But they, you know, they were. It seemed like they were super duper into it. And then you keep getting all these things. Oh, SpaceX is going to make air compression so that the weight of the vehicle for a moment will be buoyant and therefore faster at the moment of acceleration. So it'll have rockets. It's like, great, make one. Mm-hmm. Sell it. Jesus Christ.
Just pads the share price.
Yeah. Well, more money in the old cash refund, cash reserve.
I've told you guys many times, I don't know if that thing will ever really hit the market because they owe a bunch of them to people for free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just don't see how a business can actually do that. Sit there and go, I'm just going to hand out $250,000 cars. And that was $250,000 when, how many years ago was that? What is that now? $400,000 car? $300,000? Yeah. Something $1,000 car, we're just going to give those
the car's priceless because it doesn't exist.
Yeah, we're just going to hand them out for free. Yeah, we're going to make 500 this year, and we're going to give 200 away for free.
I've mentioned in the past how I think that Tesla got caught in 2019, 2020 with the way so many different things globally shifted overnight with COVID. You know, one of the main one I'm talking about is like supply chain issues and just in general, the worldwide capability of production. And they went into right before 2020. I mean, there's lots of things when, you know, Elon wasn't on as much ketamine, and he was still saying, hey, you know what? We're going to, you know, now is a great time to get into lithium mining, because dear God, like, there is so much lithium need out there that if, you know, whoever starts mining it, you'll just be printing money. And then that never happened. There was supposed to be this whole lithium renaissance. There's supposed to be batteries being made by everybody. None of it happened. 4680 is a bit of a wash. You know, just all these things that didn't build. And then you also have to see the struggles economically of a lot of people around the world that have been enormously hit by the inflation surge after COVID. Not all of them are in the place to buy a $200,000 car all of a sudden, or like you said, might have to be $400,000 depending on what it takes to make it.
I don't know. I don't think it's ever coming. And
I think that if they make it, they'll do something really kind of weird with it, where it's like you don't actually own it. Like, it'll be like the way that they kind of did the Model 3 leases, where you know, you couldn't buy out the lease at the end, so you never really owned the vehicle. So, you know, maybe they'll like do a roadster extra luxury offer where you lease it from them, and that allows, and they'll say that allows us to go in and do these hardware updates as they're available, like the SpaceX rocket blasters and all these things, and we'll add more to it later and blah blah blah, but it has to stay ours because it's too experimental for you to that way they can tell the influencers, you know, sorry, but
We're still working on it. Last thing I want to talk about, something that, you know, is I think a big thing for Cybertruck owners, and that is that Tesla is now talking about the 500 kilowatt superchargers, and supposedly they're set to launch in Q3 of 2025. We know that the superchargers, the 250 kilowatt V4 superchargers, were recently upgraded to 325 kilowatt. And I know that that's not as drastic as I think many people thought it was going to be, because it only holds that 325 kilowatt charging speed for, you know, a minute at most. I think what I've seen, you know, it doesn't hold it very long, but it's getting there, right? And so now they're talking about 500 kilowatts. So now, let's say it can only hold that 500 kilowatt for a few minutes, but at least you're going to probably be in that 400, 300 range. And now for most of your charging session. And, you know, when you have the Cybertruck with that huge battery, roughly, you know, what is it? 123 kilowatt battery. I mean, now you're talking about, you know, possibly going from what is a 30 minute charge to, you know, maybe only 15 minutes and getting to about 80%, 20 to 80. So I think that's really cool. And you know, that's exciting, because as someone who uses my truck, like I said, and it goes on road trips and goes on these camping trips, being able to charge up really quickly is a huge thing.
Totally. Although I disagree with this. This is going to really cut into my Bucky's time if we start seeing this fast of charging speed. I'm going to end up spending more money on the idle fees.
That is a thing. I mean, that's a valid solution to the problem of, okay, we're starting to charge cars at a power rate that most neighborhoods aren't wired to handle. Like, most houses on a block are you know, getting transformers to bring 7200 volts down to 220 and then split it to the houses and stuff. You're talking about a lot of power going through one cable into a car that drives on the road, gets rained on, gets dust on it. I mean, it's such an engineering marvel that they can do what they are doing, but it's like, it is kind of up to us at a certain point to do what I've been proclaiming my love for Tesla and electric vehicles is around the fact that it's like, no, you plug in the car and then sit in your car and just think, you know, go to fire up the Calm app, which I personally use and would be great if they sponsored it. No, I don't use it, but you know, just take advantage of that time. Cause like, I feel like, if a gas station pump wasn't working at full speed, you know, people would probably notice, but it wouldn't be like a huge setback in their lives. So if the amount of time that a car had to charge was only two times faster than that, like I get that you're trying to whittle out every last bit, but how many areas of our lives do we really sit around being like, oh man, this thing better be 10 minutes or less or I'm out? You know, it's like, this could easily be something that's just go inside the store, get a cup of coffee, sit down, breathe, you know? Call your friend, talk to him for 5 minutes on the phone. Just, you know, the fact that you can charge as fast as you can is awesome. But maybe we also need to think about, you know, the level three, or sorry, the what is it, the version 3 and version 2 chargers, the urban chargers. So it's like, yeah, it isn't so bad. It's just sit and relax. Enjoy your day.
Yeah, no, we've talked about that a few weeks ago. Yeah, we talked about that a few weeks ago. You know, the experience of, you know, I think I posed the question to people is, what do you do when you're charging? You know, because I talked about how I use that at time to just relax, you know, take a little nap even, you know, a 10-minute nap. So, yeah, no, you're 100% right. You know, but when you're on a long road trip, you kind of just want to get charged and get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
So, but I hear you. Most times on a road trip, you want to stop at least once to eat, use the restroom, any of that. So you want an extended stay.
I feel like the options are great, but I'm just saying that I think that there's an expectation that we have where it's like gas stations are the same no matter where you go. So you're always going to have the same fill-up time. But people needing to plan their trip around where a V4 charger is versus a V3 charger, it's going to become a part of the landscape. And right now, I'm just worried that too many EV drivers are going to be like, they all need to be V4 chargers everywhere. They need to overnight rebuild all of these things. It's like, do you understand how big of a thing you're asking for? Yeah, like how expensive it is just in materials cost, because moving that kind of power at every single station is probably like, you know, in the billions of dollars to rebuild those. So it's like, just appreciate the new ones, but also, you know, take 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, 100%. Chris is in chat, and he's saying that Lars promised they are working on Roadster currently on Ride the Lightning podcast. So I believe it. I believe they're working on it.
Yeah.
My question is,
they've been working on it for a while.
They're working on it. I'm not sitting here saying I don't think the Roadster, there won't ever be a Roadster, a new version of the Roadster on the road. I just don't. I question how are they going to navigate putting something into production and doing deliveries to consumers and then hand out a bunch of those for free to influencers. I mean, Tesla obviously has the money. Elon has the money to hand out whatever he wants for free. So maybe he proves me wrong and does it. Maybe the numbers are too big for me, and I'm just on such a small scale that it's hard for me to even fathom. But for me, I just don't see, even in my business of like, let's get something at very, very small dollar amounts, and I'm just going to hand out a bunch of these for free because I spoke too soon and made promises that now will financially hurt me. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know if they're going to ever truly put it out for production to consumers, you know, but I hope I'm wrong. I hope they do, because I think it's going to be really cool once they do it. I just don't know. I think it's going to be put out for cool little videos and stuff, but I don't think anybody's ever going to really be able to buy one.
Yes.
I wanted to show, because I found something online as well. Actually, you know, I seen this on Instagram where Tesla looks to be installing these new anti-theft, like supercharging protectors on their cords.
Wow.
It's called the Die Defender. It states right here, these are stainless steel hose barriers filled with pressurized blue staining dye that explodes when someone attempts to cut the cable. I think that's pretty cool from the standpoint of, I don't know about you guys, I'm sure you guys have been to a supercharger or even any charging station and the wires are cut. I've seen that, not very often, but I've seen it. And so if they're doing something to help protect that from happening, because that's the worst thing, right? You show up to a supercharger and you're needing a charge and all the things are cut. That's a bummer. So if they're doing something to help protect that, that's pretty cool. And that'll help everybody. Oh, by the way, there's Chris, who's in the comments. This is his Instagram, Accelerating Tech. So if you don't follow Chris, go follow him. He also has a YouTube channel. Go follow him. That's all I got, guys. Anything else on your mind? You guys want to lay out for the...
It's a slow week.
Not for me.
Oh, well, you know, and we already discussed all of that, so we're good. Yeah. You're covered, man.
I think I discussed most of my stuff about the Ford. Yeah, I kind of put like a quick and dirty, like, hey, it's been 2 weeks for the Lightning, and kind of explain the pros and cons. I think I've talked about most of them on here. It mainly like trying to be honest about the cons. Like the biggest one is like, it's not FSD. Like it's nowhere close FSD. And my biggest gripe that I don't think I've mentioned here is about the user experience getting in and out of the vehicle needs a lot of work. like Tesla and other vehicles have gotten like used to it, especially because they Ford has their Ford Pass app, but it doesn't quite figure it out. Like if you have the fob in your, if your fob is in your pocket, but you also have the app active, and it just feels clunky. On top of also having it. Oh, go ahead.
So when you walk up to the vehicle, the truck, it doesn't unlock. Is that kind of the issue?
It does, but then if I'm just far enough away from it, it'll like get kind of confused. It'll be like, hey, are you unlocked? Are you not unlocked? And then I'll say I walk out my front door, it'll automatically unlock, but I'm not going to the truck.
Oh,
but that never really happened with the Cybertruck until I like got close enough, or the Rivian really, because the Rivian has like, if you look when you connect it to Bluetooth, you can actually see like every single sensor, like it's like six or seven Bluetooth sensors you're connected to ensure which direction you're like coming from. So that at least was a better experience. But yeah, I think that's something that Ford could do better on.
Yeah, my Rivian does that too. I'll be sitting out in front on the front porch and my car will sit there, unlock, lock, unlock, lock.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cybertruck never had that issue.
That's weird. Out of all the things I had to gripe about, like that's... Yeah.
It's one of those things that they have to hunt down and like give you the maximum range because you know that, you know, the people who they want buying the cars right now are probably going to be ultra picky about, I got up to the car and it opened the handle like half a second too late, you know? So they're like, all right, fine. It's going to trigger 60 feet out. It actually can see you. It has camera eyes and it watches you walk over, you know, something. But yeah, it would be nice, honestly, if you could like dial that back or something. Because I know Tesla had it where I think in the settings you can approach the car and only have the driver's door unlock or all the doors unlock, I think.
Yeah. But super minor. Overall, I love it. And overall, the biggest takeaway is outlets in the frunk. You got to have outlets in the frunk. Like more vehicles need that are going to be EV.
We need outlets everywhere. Trunk. They just need to start putting outlets in every area where a person or things might reside. You're driving an enormous battery. I want to use it for all of that.
I got four in the frunk.
Uh-huh. And 220. God damn it.
Like, look out for Halloween this year because it's going to be. Oh, yeah. And the 220 in the back. So, well, because I driving around the neighborhood, I did see we had one Cybertruck in the neighborhood next to us that they did all the Christmas lights around the entire truck. But it's like we never really see that with the other EVs. So now I'm going like, all right, let's break the mold. We'll do it with other EVs too.
It's going to be a fun Halloween for Chase. He's gonna go all out with that thing. There goes Will again.
There we go.
I'm all here. Right. There's the office has become the office took over my daughter's room. My daughter still uses the restroom that's attached in this room, so I didn't want to get you flagged for something because she's running around like a maniac.
All good.
Video's taken down and people start knocking on doors or something.
All right, guys. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate everybody that joined us today. Hugo, Jay, Chris, who else was there? Max, everybody that joined us, we appreciate you. And we'll see you guys next week.
Later.